kind of guarantee. But he told me that if I believe on him, I shall not perish. What a guarantee. Oh, Lord. He didn't say that I wouldn't leave here and that my life might not go through a change. Oh, Lord. But going through the process of change that we call death, he told me with a guarantee, don't worry about it, you shall not perish. Yes, death may lay his hand on you. Oh, Lord. Yes, the grave may hold your body, but you shall not perish. Oh, Lord. There are those who feel like your end has come. There are those, oh, Lord, who say you're no more than any other animal when you die. That death is the end. But he told me to tell you that he had a better guarantee. That if you believe on him, you shall not perish. Even if death lays his hand on you, you shall not perish. Oh, Lord, you don't hear me. And then he said, oh, Lord, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And that is the greatest possession. Oh, Lord, I'm gonna let you alone when I get through with this. Yes, I am. You talking about a love story. Oh, Lord, you talking about a love story that's worthwhile. This is the love story, the greatest possession. Oh, Lord, eternal life. I don't know anybody else. I've talked with the surgeons. They've told me about their remedies of medicines and about their antidotes. Oh, Lord. But nobody yet has been able to guarantee me the possession of everlasting life. Oh, Lord. Yes, sir. And all I'm trying to tell you tonight, in my conclusion, that there is a real love whose love is not fickle, whose love is not changing, whose love is always dependable, whose love is ever abiding. Oh, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. What a great possession.
Are listening to the very best of community radio, and presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
I don't fret because he'll see about me.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Jesus. No, not one. Come on, let's give our children a hand. Beautiful job. Amen. Thank y'all so much, young people, for your faithfulness. God is going to bless you mightily for being faithful to him and his work. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I don't know, Brother Cutright, just give us something. Prepare our hearts for the word.
Jesus. God has for me, it is for me.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Jesus.
What God has for me, it is for me. I know that about that he will bring me out.
If you believe that, stand on your feet all over this
place. God has for me, he is for me. What God has for me, it is for me. What God has for me, it is for me. I know without a doubt that he will bring me out. What God has for me, it is for me.
Now come on, everybody, let's get in that. Come on, say it is.
It is for me.
Oh, you gotta sing it like you believe it. Come on.
It is for me. It is for me. It is for me. What God has for me, it is for me. What God has for me, it is for me. Because I know without a doubt that he will bring me out. Because what God has for me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bow your heads all over this place. Lord, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. And we pray, God, that you will speak a word into our hearts, oh God. Lord, a word that will remind us that with you, all things are possible. God, a word that will remind us that with you, No weapon formed against us shall prosper. We thank you right now for the word that we're about to receive. We believe, God, that it's going to provide deliverance to someone who's bound. We believe, God, that it's going to lift burdens and bring joy and hope in the place of sorrow. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God a great shout of praise as you take your seats all over this place. Hallelujah. God bless you, Brother Cutright. Amen. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In the book of Psalms, the 23rd number, one that we're all so familiar with, we want to call your attention to just the second verse of the 23rd number of the book of Psalms, the songbook composed mostly by David. Amen. Psalm 23 and verse 2, and there you will find these words. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And I want to, for just a moment this morning, talk about our God as a restorer. He is a restorer. Amen. God bless you, ushers. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. The Native American theologian Vine Deloria penned words that jumped out at me. It is amazing how, when you're dealing with things in your life, how in that moment you're dealing with them, that somehow the right words seem to manifest themselves. The right people show up doing just what you need to keep it all together. These words by Deloria lifted me differently, because when you have been through some stuff in your life, when you've been through some stuff that brings you to the edge of calamity and collapse, and yet you find the resolve to turn around and push forward, you understand that cute praises will not do. You understand that niceties will not cut it. Because in those moments, you need words that will cut right to the punch and get to the heart of the matter. Vine Deloria Jr. penned these words. He said, religion is for people who are afraid of going to hell. But then he said, spirituality is for people who have already been there. I think I need to say that one more time. Vine Deloria said that religion is for people who are afraid of going to hell, but spirituality is for people who have already been there. Anybody been through any hell in your life? You see, there comes a time in your life after you have faced certain demons and dealt with certain realities that are entrenched in pain and chaos, that you understand why you are still here, and you understand how you survived to be here. You understand that you are here because of a combination of the unbelievable grace of God and the internal tenacity and fortitude that you possess. Don't ever underestimate, my brothers and sisters, the fortitude that you have in your spirit. You don't get to see 96 or 97 like Brother Sewell. I forget. It's somewhere up there. Amen. Amen. You don't get to make it to your 80s like my mother and Sister Joyner. Amen. Amen. You don't get to do that if there isn't something in you that can endure the insanity that assaulted you, and yet you still find a reason to keep waking up and keep on moving and keep on making sense of life. Because no matter who you are on this journey, you will be assaulted by things you did not expect. Is there anybody here today who knows that expected confrontations are easy to deal with? I'm talking about the stuff you expected along the way, but how many of you know that it is the come out of nowhere pain? That kind that comes when you're not looking, the kind that catches you off guard that makes you want to recalibrate and start things over again. How many of you know that it's that kind of stuff that comes your way that you were not expecting? I found myself in that place where I found myself being confronted and blindsided and assaulted, not just by situations, but also by people. And maybe it is the assault of people that is the most painful, especially when it's unexpected people. Come on, anybody ever been there? You got blindsided by unexpected people at unexpected moments in unexpected ways that you were not prepared for. And maybe the truth of the matter is that maybe it wasn't the people, maybe it wasn't the situation, but maybe, amen, let them handle that. Amen. Let them handle it. Amen. Y'all, come on, adults up here, handle these children. We don't need any distraction from the word. Hallelujah. How many of you have ever been blindsided in this life by some stuff you weren't expecting? Am I the only one in here? Amen. Stuff you weren't prepared for it, but it showed up. You didn't have it on your schedule, but it showed up anyway. And I've come by today to tell you that David, the writer of our psalm this morning, he had some experience with this reality. David knew what it was like when things are soaring to have the rug pulled from underneath you, to be rendered imbalanced and incapacitated, amen, when things ought to be going well. Come on, you did all the right stuff. You dotted all your I's and crossed your T's. You did everything that was called to be done, but even in spite of that, trouble showed up. Well, I've come by today to tell you that David sends a message through this verse to those who are spiritually weary. He sends a message to those who are spiritually drained, those who feel like they're at a stoplight and the light won't change. You're exasperated, you're frustrated, you're agitated. David says, I know where you are. Now, I know somebody looking at me and you're saying, but Pastor, you can't be talking about David. You can't be talking about King David, the one, amen, that the Bible says was a man after God's own heart. Yes, I'm talking about David. Because we need to understand that the same David who wrote Psalm 23 and 1, the Lord is my shepherd, is the same David who wrote Psalm 22 and 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You need to understand that the same David that wrote Psalm 23 and 1, the Lord is my shepherd, is the same David who wrote Psalm 63 and 1, my soul thirsts for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. David shows us that after all that he's been through, he did learn that it is in the midst of our wilderness that our shepherd will show up. It's in the midst of discouragement and fear. It's in the midst of defeat and struggle. It's in the midst of loneliness and emptiness. It's in the midst of futility, agitation, and aggravation and anguish that our shepherd will meet us at the place of our spiritual need. One reason that we need our shepherd to show up and refresh us is because our own sin drains us. See, we say amen as long as we're talking about somebody else's sin. But I know I ought to have some witnesses here today who will admit that every now and then our own sin drains us. Do I have a witness here today? Dealing with me can be draining to me. I know it's draining to you dealing with me, but amen. But dealing with me is draining to me. Do I have a witness today? I've got to ask the question, why do I keep doing some of the things I keep doing? Why do I keep saying some of the things I keep saying? Sometimes dealing with me is draining to me. I can become a handful all by myself. And look here, since y'all got those halos on your head, and you don't want to, amen, bear witness with me, I think there ought to be one or two folk up in here, amen, who will admit along with me that, yeah, Pastor, I'm a handful too. Now, for those of you who don't want to bear witness to that fact, I have a witness. Paul says, Reverend, I know where you're coming from. Because the things I hate to do, that's what I end up doing. And it's not me that's doing it, but sin that's all inside of me. Paul said, I want to do better.
I just can't seem to do better. I want to do right. I just can't seem to do right. I want to get it together, but I just can't seem to get it together. It got so bad at one point that Paul hollered out, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death?" Sometimes dealing with yourself can be draining to yourself. And then another reason that we need spiritual renewal and another reason for our spiritual drain is the unavoidable reality of the environment in which we live. Turn on your TV and see folk, amen, riding up and down the streets with rebel flags, amen, wishing to bring the old days back. That's draining to me because I ain't going back. If it's got anything to do with picking cotton and bowing and bending and going through the back door. Amen. You can go if you want to. But is there anybody up in here with me who has made up in their mind that I've been enjoying this freedom thing too long? I'm not going back. All of the crazy stuff happening in our world. Amen. All of that can drain you spiritually. And I thank God that I finally reached a point because folk ask me all the time, "Pastor, what do you like to watch on TV?" And 9 times out of 10, it's either CNN, MSNBC, it's some kind of news. And I finally figured out the reason I ain't sleeping at night is because I'm watching all this crazy stuff on the news and it's getting in my spirit. And is there anybody here who knows that negativity can get in your spirit and you walking around depressed and oppressed and your head and don't realize why? Turn off some of that negative stuff. Turn off some negative people. Come on. It ain't all on the TV. There's some negative folk right around up in here that you need to get away from, that you need to stop giving your lending your ear to, because negative folk will get in your spirit. I feel like Brother Thompson this morning. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Where are my blessed folk that have made up in them? My God has been too good to me for me to be stressed out and depressed. All of these things can drain you spiritually. Your flesh can drain you. The world can drain you. The evil one can literally suck out all of your spiritual vitality, and it can appear as though you have run out of spiritual gas. When you try to pray, the words won't come. See, some of y'all ain't gonna admit it. You, amen. Amen. When you read the Bible, the words just run together. None of it makes any sense. Or you find yourself getting sleepy trying to read the word. You don't want to hear another sermon. I don't want to hear another praise song. You don't even want to hear from spiritual people, especially if you know they faking. You come to church and say amen and wave your hands and lead the hymns, but deep down inside you are on empty. Your spiritual fire has gone out. You're out of gas. You're drained. But if you're up in here today, tell your neighbor you're at a good point. Because it's at the point, the drained point, that the shepherd makes us lie down. Notice y'all, he doesn't ask us to lie down. The shepherd makes us lie down. And those of you who are parents, you know how it is. When your small children get cranky and agitated, a lot of times the answer is just make them lie down. Sometimes as God's child, I get cranky. My mood gets bad. I don't want to be bothered with nobody. That's the point where he makes me lie down. Get yourself together and lie down, not just in any pasture. Oh, come on, y'all. We serve a good God. And what I love about it, he don't just make us lie down just anywhere. He says, lie down in the green pasture. By some still, quiet waters, lie down. You see, David knew the need for rest because David was a shepherd up in the hills of Judah where the sun was hot and blazing. The sun beats down upon you. And anybody in here who's ever worked out in the sun knows that it takes a lot of energy out of you. And when a good shepherd sees that the sun is draining his sheep, he will lead those sheep from sun-exposed heights into a shady green grass-carpeted area and make the sheep lie down in comfort where the breeze that blows off the water will be cool and refreshing. Is there anybody who can thank God for refreshing your spirit? Is there anybody who can thank God just when you thought, amen, that you wanted to give up and throw in the towel? The Lord made you lie down long enough so that you could come back into the house of prayer one more time with another praise, with another thank you, Jesus, with another hallelujah, with another I love you, Lord. You ought to thank him today that he loves you so much. He'll make you lie down. And y'all, I need to tell you that the shepherd knows when to refresh the sheep. He renews the sheep. But in order for him to refresh and renew the sheep, he has to first make the sheep lie down. Move to another place. Because if he doesn't make them lie down, they'll keep wandering and going their own way. They'll stay in heated situations. Some of y'all ought to be tired of being in mess. I know we like these shows, the have and have nots and scandal and empire and all of that, but keep it on the TV. Watch, amen. Some of you try to bring that stuff on the TV into reality. Amen. I would rather watch it on TV than have to deal with it at church. I'd rather watch it on TV than have to deal with it on the job. Come on, y'all don't understand. Some of the messy folk on your job are trying to be Veronica on the have and have nots. And you need to get them in a corner somewhere and tell them, you're not Veronica, you're not Cookie. Amen. I know you think you bad and you all that, amen, but I come in here with the power of God. I come in here with the Lord on my mind. I come in here with the praise in my spirit. Leave all that foolishness at home. I come to worship God. So every now and then he'll have to make us lie down. Amen. Because if he doesn't, amen, amen, we'll stay in mess. We'll stay in the sun. We'll stay in the heat. He puts you in a situation you can't get out of. He'll fix it so that every door you open closes. He'll set it up so that everything you fix breaks again. He will make you lie down. To lie down is to get low. You may think you're in a desperate situation, but oh, you're in a good position for the shepherd, because when you're in a circumstance that robs you of your independence and causes you to be totally dependent upon him, that brings you into a new realization. Anybody know what the realization is? The realization is this, that if God don't help me. Come on, come on. How many of you, that was your wake-up call? He so circumnavigated the circumstances of your life. You know, as long as you thought you were running things and you were in control, amen, you were doing all right, but God had to wake you up to the reality that if he don't help me, I ain't gonna get no help. If he don't empower me, I won't have any power. If he don't release me, I'll be in bondage. Oh, the shepherd wants to bring you to the point that when you look up, all you see is him. Dr. Charles Spurgeon said, "Blessed are you when the waves of affliction wash you upon the rocks of trust in God alone. When the currents beneath cause you to look up to the light above." Reminds me of this story of this little boy who was lying in bed one night, and as he laid there over his headboard behind him, there was this picture of Jesus. And at the foot of the bed on the wall was a mirror. Behind him, over the headboard, was a picture of Jesus. In front of him, there was a mirror. And the boy, he was smart, because he figured something out, and he told his mama. He said, "Mama, I realized something." He said, "When I sit up in the bed," he said, "I can't see Jesus in the mirror because I'm in the way." He said, "But mama, when I lay down, I can see Jesus in the mirror. And And I've come by to tell somebody today that the reason you can't see Jesus is you won't lay down. But I've come by today with sanctified joy and news that God will make you lie down so that the only one you can see is Jesus. The only one that you'll worship is Jesus. The only one that you'll praise is Jesus. The only one you'll thank for waking you up and putting food on your table and clothes on.